Hi, this is Father Bill W. here in Austin, Texas, and I want to welcome you back to another podcast. I'm an Episcopal priest and in long-term recovery from alcoholism, celebrated 48 years last December, and got interested in the history of Alcoholics Anonymous about 28 years ago, particularly a process of prayer that they were doing back in those old days, in the early days. And it was something called two-way prayer. I started doing it, changed my life. And since then, I've been really interested in trying to get the word out to people in 12-step fellowships about this really wonderful tool that is available to us, that if you can kind of dig beneath the surface of what is written about it in the big book and in some of the other AA literature, you're going to find a process that is really life-changing. And I know it was for me. So that's pretty much what these podcasts are about, kind of going deeper into the two-way prayer process, looking at the pioneers and the program that they were working, particularly before the big book was written. And so that's what I'm about. And the couple of announcements before we get going on this podcast episode. I'm going to be doing a workshop on two-way prayer. The next one will be at the end of August, and it will be on Saturday, August 28th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's Central Time, like in Chicago time zone. It's free, but you do need to register for that event, and you can do so on our website, twowayprayer@gmail.com. There'll be a link there under the events that should take you to it. If you have any trouble, just write me at twowayprayer@gmail.com, and I'll send you the registration information. It's free, but you do need to register for that one. Do want to thank our donors. People have been sending some money in through the PayPal Connect on our website, and it really helps us to meet expenses. No dues or fees for listening to this podcast, but it was pretty expensive to redo the website, and I've just hired some additional help to assist with kind of getting the word out. So those kind of expenses are really helped by any donations you're able to give. Never going to be a charge for this message. It's always has to be free, or we'll screw it up like like alcoholics are prone to do. This is a special bonus. We're going to call it a bonus episode. It's not connected to a series, but quite often I get two questions through emails. One is on finding, help me find a prayer partner, people will say. Put me in touch with someone who can teach me this practice and that we can work together on sharing our guidance. And the other is, can you direct me to a two-way prayer meeting? And I've got some pretty strong feelings on both of those items. So I thought this would be a marvelous opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope with each of these. And all I can do is make suggestions. But it does come from 28 years of experience with this thing. So I hope it's going to be helpful to you in figuring out how to go forward with this. So this episode is going to be on prayer partners. And just by way of background, when I discovered the two-way prayer practice, I did it by myself for 10 years. So for 10 years, I did not have a prayer partner. And I really believe that this practice is intended to be an individual practice, that we should each have our quiet time in the morning, our time with God. That whole last series was devoted to what goes into a quiet time practice. So you might want to refresh your minds on on some of the items that are contained in that, but it's an individual thing. But after I did it for 10 years, and then I had a call one day from an old friend who said, "Hey, Bill, what are you doing these days?" And I told him that, well, I found this thing called two-way prayer, and I've been practicing it, and it's really been very profound in helping me with my program, helping me with my relationship with God. And he said, "Well, teach me how to do it." And so I said, "Okay," and taught him how to do it. And then what we decided to do was begin sharing with one another what it was that each of us was receiving. Now, I think this does go back in the history that it was an individual practice. Sometimes little teams, little groups would get together and share what they were getting out of their two-way prayer practice. Sometimes a little group would gather at Dr. Bob's house. There's reference to this in Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers. And as a joint session. So you might call that a two-way prayer meeting of sorts. But still, the practice was intended to be individual. There's also in that book a reference to Dr. Bob's wife asking a woman that she was working with, "Did you get anything in your quiet time this morning? Do you have anything to share with me? What came up for you?" And I think there you can begin to kind of see the prayer partnership having its origins. So there are no hard and fast rules with this process. Suggestions are the best way to go. And on the website, on the Two-Way Prayer website, is if you go to resources about four or five items down under articles, you'll see a suggested guide for prayer partners. If you have any trouble finding it, I'm going to put a link at the end of this podcast in the show notes, so you can access it there as well. So I wrote this a number of years back. I reviewed it, but I still think it's pretty good in terms of giving you some guidelines for establishing a practice with a prayer partner. So let's just dive into that. I'm going to pretty much read it and comment on it, and that should get us pretty far down the road in understanding what this prayer partner relationship is all about. So first paragraph says, "Sharing two-way prayer writings with a friend brings added depth and dimension to this work." And I think that is absolutely right. Yes, you can do this individually, but when the time is right and when you're ready to do it, sharing your writings with another person, and perhaps even more importantly, hearing God's voice come to you through their writings, has a very profound effect and really magnifies the impact of this work in our psyches. So that's number one. Second paragraph, the sharing can be part of a 12-step sponsoring relationship that's mutually enhanced when both parties actively engage in the practice. I talk to a number of folks who say, "Well, I take people through the 12 steps in my sponsoring, and I take them through 10, 11, 12, share with them a little bit about two-way prayer, but most don't seem to get into it." And then they continue sponsoring them. To me, this is an absolutely critical juncture that you come to, or we come to, in the sponsoring relationship. Yes, we're going to take people through the 12 steps, first nine in particular. But then when I get to 10, 11, and 12, I have an opportunity to introduce them to this practice. And hopefully they will take advantage of it and begin the daily writing. Because what happens if they don't do that is they're going to develop a dependency on the sponsor. And what I've found so helpful in this practice is when, if I've sponsored somebody and they call me with a question, as they are certainly prone to do, I will say, well, what did God say about it? Well, I never thought about that. Well, you need to think about that. You need to start taking your problems to God in your morning quiet time and through your two-way prayer and asking for guidance. And then what I tell the sponsee is, bring me the guidance and let's talk about that. I'm not there to solve people's problems. I'm not there to be their guru. I am there to introduce people to a new relationship with their creator by which they can begin to build a life. And that life is not going to be centered in me. It needs to be centered in God. So it could be through a sponsoring relationship, or it might not. I'm talking about who this prayer partner might be. Let me jump into how does one go about doing the sharing, and then at the end we'll talk about how to find somebody. So what I found most helpful is this set of guidelines. The two people commit to a set day and time for doing the sharing. Most prayer partners can connect weekly with calls lasting 30 minutes to an hour. And I'm going to sound a little rigid on this, but I think it's important. If a call is scheduled for 7 a.m. on a particular day of the week, be prompt in placing the call, as the other person should be waiting at the other end of the line. This sharing time is an important commitment, and while canceling a call may sometimes be unavoidable, try not to let anything interrupt it if possible. So my friend Ralph was the man that I first started doing this sharing with, and we had an arrangement that every Monday morning at 7 a.m., he would call me. And I would be all ready. I got my cup of coffee. I'm sitting down. I've got my two-way prayer journal. Boom. 7 o'clock on the dot, the phone would ring. And that's really helpful that I'm not waiting, you know, around building up a resentment by 7:08 or 5 or even 3. Be on time with the call and stay committed to that. What happens when the two people connect? Well, here's the next paragraph. Stay focused on sharing your writings. Most calls begin with a few minutes of general sharing about the week's events, but then move quickly to each person sharing their week's writings. This is neither a social call nor a sponsor type call. It's a time to share writings. If both parties are serious about their work, each should have 6 to 7 days of two-way prayer writings recorded in their journals. If a person is experiencing a serious problem in life, that person should be asking God for guidance and not asking the prayer partner to solve it or even to give advice. We are there for one another to listen and not to fix. So is there a place for a little socialization on the call? Yeah, I think there is. How you doing, Ralph? Hey, I'm good. Or something came up and a short discussion around that, 3-5 minutes maybe. Okay, let's go to work. Boom. You want to start. Keep the time focused and directed towards the sharing of your two-way prayers. Otherwise, it's going to dissolve into something else. Number 5, as a general rule, the less experienced person shares their writings first. There's a reason for that. This allows them more time if it's needed. So if the calls are scheduled to go for a half hour, the newer person is going to go first. And he or she gets kind of, has enough time. We want to make sure that they have enough time to share all of their writings. But enough time should also be saved for the other individual to share his or her writings. So what I put down in the guidelines is 50-50 is the goal. 70-30 should be the minimum. All right. What happens as we do this? Well, that's item 6. Crosstalk is allowed. After a person shares their writings from each day, the listener, the person who has not shared his writings, may want to share or comment very briefly. Here, the intent is not to analyze what the other person has written, but to encourage them, to help them understand it, or better still, to share briefly what their writing meant for them. So when God is talking to you, there's something called a three-way prayer. So as you read your writing, that has an impact on me. And that's God speaking to me through you. So crosstalk is definitely allowed during the sharing, but the listener must be careful not to take the focus away from the person sharing his or her own writings. So if you as a listener are touched by something, yes, you want to comment on it, but do so in the nature of encouraging the other person, relating to the other person, and not stealing the spotlight away from that person. I mean, it's just good manners. You know, it's their time to share. You're going to respond, but you're not going to dominate. Okay. Focus on the guidance. Some people may have developed effective alternative practices of journaling or meditating over the years, and they may want to continue these practices as part of the morning quiet time. This is perfectly fine. 15 to 20 minutes of silent prayer, of centering prayer, of yoga, of journaling, that's all great, but it's not what the two-way prayer is there to the listeners there to respond to. None of that other work should really be part of the phone sharing. Keep the call's focus on the guidance received from God. And this is where I think it's really important to teach people that you're working with not to go on and on with their question. Keep the question, the expression of the need for God's help, to a couple of sentences. God already knows what our needs are. We're just trying to capture them ready ourselves for listening for the guidance. And it's the guidance that the other person is interested in hearing. I can't stress that too much, that I could sit there almost all day listening to God speak through other people. It's just amazing. It's you know, the book says we're going to be restored to sanity. I think in those moments I am most restored to sanity as I'm listening to the still small voice come through another person. So that's what the time together needs to be about. Next paragraph says, commit to partnering for a set period of time. Most people find it helpful to commit to, quote, trying on their prayer partnership arrangements. 6 weeks to 3 months is a reasonable amount of time to see if partners are compatible and likely to be of genuine help to one another. This work should never be just a one-way street. Each partner should be benefiting from the work of the other for an effective and long-term relationship to develop and sustain itself over time. If one partner often comes to the call with few writings or frequently cancels the calls, that partnership is likely to be ineffective. And do not be afraid to terminate it. All right? I mean, it has to be rewarding to you. You need to look forward to this session with the individual. And they need to be doing the work, and you can't be doing the work for them. I mean, as an old counselor, I mean, I sometimes had to stop myself. Am I working harder than the patient? If I'm working harder than the patient, something's not right here. It's the patient who needs to be doing the work, who needs to be doing the digging. Now, if they're doing the digging, I'm right along with them, and I will dig as fast as they do. But if they're not doing the digging, then when does it become enabling? You know, so they have to do the work. And if they're not doing the work, maybe you need to be doing work with somebody else. So keep an eye on that. You're not obligated to this relationship, and it should be mutually rewarding. Also, there will come a time when it's best for partners to move on from the prayer partner arrangements. It should not be seen as abandoning the other person. After doing this work for several months, or even for a year or more, it is expected that the new person should be ready to begin leading others through the practice as well. He or she should take on the role of the teacher, or else a dependency will develop on the prayer partner instead of on God, where it rightly belongs. So how long do you keep up this prayer partnership? I can only speak for myself with that. I mean, I know some people who've been doing it for 10, 15 years in some cases, and that's okay. I tend to take on a little bit more of a teacher role with this. My goal is that I'm going to pass on to them as many insights and tips as I've learned over the years. But then the expectation is that they will begin doing this with another person. It's really similar to sponsoring. I mean, if you're sponsoring a man or a woman and they never begin to take on that sponsoring role with other people, something's not right. I mean, we change people so what? So that they can go out there and be a source of change for still others in the world. So it's creating that link. And after a while, once you've got it, you know, there may be a person that you're gonna stay with for one reason or another and make a very long-term commitment with them. And that's okay. That's okay. But, you know, I have tended to have several going at one time. And if I'm going to make a long-term commitment to several of these individuals, then I'm never going to get time to work with new people. So that just process of having a chain developed, that you're passing on the information, teaching them how to do it, and then they go on and do it with others. And this would bring us then to the two-way prayer meetings. And I'm going to talk about that in the next episode. What I would say here is a couple of things. It might well be possible, after I've done this with an individual for a few months, several months, to invite another person in, and you could have three people on the call. Might even get up as high as four. I think three is probably closer to what's going to be effective. But you can kind of begin to form a little cell, a little group out of your calls. And the important question is, how do you find a prayer partner? That's the one that stumps me. I mean, I want to be helpful, and I get these calls from people. And do I link Joe up with Charlie? Do I link Mary up with Maria? You know, what do I do there? And my guidance has been no, that the individual should find the prayer partner themselves. And one way to do that is to teach somebody how to do it. And So it's like grow your own prayer partner. And just like I did with Ralph, taught him how to do it. He was a quick study. It's not hard. The trick is, are they going to do it? And then you get together and you share. And he learned from me. And then in time, I'm learning from him. Keep in mind that it's basically an individual process. And so that finding that prayer partner is not like finding a sponsor. You can get from the website the instructions on how to do this, and you will see from those instructions that it is basically an individual process. So don't be afraid to do it individually. Ask God in your quiet time in your two-way prayer to show you if you're really longing for sharing this with another person. Show you that person, bring you that person, help identify that person, give you some guidance on what you should do to make ready. I know some people talk about two-way prayer in their in meetings, just referencing it. After the meeting, somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, I'd like to learn a bit more about what you're saying." Well, there's a good candidate for training that individual to become a prayer partner for you. So wanted to get that out. Again, you can go to the link in the show notes, and it'll take you to the two-way prayer partner guide on the website. And if you have any trouble with that, just email me at twowayprayer@gmail.com. And I will be happy to send it to you. So if you've had experience with prayer partners, why don't you drop me a note on that? What's been working? What's not been working? Love to maybe put some of those things in the next newsletter that is going to be coming up. So those are my thoughts on that. I think it's an important subject, and kind of wanted to get that out there and get people talking about it. So hope it was helpful. And hope you're having a great summer. Hope you're maybe starting to get back to some meetings. I made a few in the last couple of weeks. It was good to see people in person once again. And we've all kind of come through this pandemic, and it looks like we're still not out from under the worst of it. So be careful, stay safe. God bless, and keep coming back.